All right. Well, I'm going to get to kick the call off tonight. I am actually going to do the training segment tonight, and I'm honored to be doing this with all of you tonight. A lot of times we have guest speakers on, but I think it's super important that you all get to hear from Frank and myself and Elizabeth and John Gardner and the Millionaire Club members and Corey Muhammad
and all those.
Yes. And so tonight...
Are you going to do the training right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's on attitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to tell anybody that Teresa has probably one of the best attitudes of anybody I've ever met in my life, no matter what time of the day or night it is. And so now you're on.
Yeah, I was waiting for a little intro, but that's
fine. Well, no, that's...
Anyway, we're a little crazy distracted
anytime
here.
Anytime somebody's been happy, as long as I've been happy, I mean, you've got to have a good attitude.
Okay, y'all, well, let's get into it. This is important. I mean, I think attitude is everything. I know it is for me. I think that is for human beings in general. I mean, it just determines everything. And we've heard so many philosophers talk about it. You can read 1,000 things about it. I want to get it kind of down to some nitty-gritty with it tonight. I want to think about how we wake up in the morning. And I've kind of summarized it, if I look at myself, it's kind of one of three different ways. I either wake up with kind of expectation of joy, can't wait to get things knocked off my list for the day. I'm anticipating it with joy. That's one way. A second way that sometimes I wake up is with dread. I go to bed thinking about something negative, and I wake up thinking about it, and I kind of get up in a negative attitude, a little bit dreadful. And then there's a third way that sometimes we wake up. I've had this happen myself. We wake up with indifference. We wake up just kind of numb, you know, not driven, just kind of floating along, kind of plateauing. And so we all want to wake up with joy in the morning and with anticipation and wanting to get things done and achieve things, but our attitude determines which way we're going to wake up in the morning. But how do you control your attitude? I mean, that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight. We, you know, when the glass breaks in the kitchen, how do we react to that? That's our attitude. When we're in traffic, Lord goodness, people were in traffic in Charleston today. They were even in traffic lined up 70 deep trying to get gas. You know, what's our attitude? How are we reacting to that? When we hear a coworker say something snide about us behind our back, how do we react to that? That's our attitude. When our children ask us the same thing over and over 100 times, how do we react to that? You know, there's no shows at the luncheon. Oh, my gosh, how do we react to that? There's a negative friend making fun of our legal show business. What is our attitude? How do we get through those things and keep a good attitude? I remember when we first started in this industry, Frank and I did PBRs, we didn't call them that then, for 4 straight months, once a week, set up everything, got everything ready, no show, after no show for 16 weeks. Remember that, Frank?
Oh, I remember.
I'm telling you. I mean, it was a challenge to keep a good attitude and keep a positive attitude, but we did. And
we'd lean out the door every day and say, there must be a roadblock.
Yeah, what's happened at the beginning of our subdivision? Did they block the road? You know, honestly, I mean, we went through that.
What did we do, though? We practiced.
We practiced. We made the best of it. We really did. And I don't remember ever being upset or mad.
No.
We were just anxious to learn to do it better. And then I remember years later, Frank, we went to your dad's military reunion. And this was in Alabama?
It was his high school reunion.
Was it his high school?
50th high school.
That's
reunion.
Right. It was his 50th high school, but there's a lot of military guys there, I guess, is why I was thinking of that. And it was a big deal for us to be there with him. And Frank actually left that important function to go to drive over an hour.
No, to North Carolina. We was in Florida. I had to drive to North
Carolina.
Carolina.
I don't remember where we were. But yeah. I remember you drove a long way to go to help a new associate get started in the business. He set up his first PBR. Frank broke away from this important event with his dad, drove up there.
For hours I drove. And I talked to him all the way up there.
And then when he got there, tell him what happened.
Nobody was there. He never showed up. He told me there was people coming over. I was in like 30 miles of the place. He said, we'll be here. Went there. I had the right house, right address. Not a soul was there. He never returned another phone call.
Yeah, the lights turned out, and Frank, they didn't even answer the door.
It was...
Oh, my gosh, Frank, it was so upsetting. But you know what? He came back. We finished the important function with his dad, and we moved forward. And so I just, you know, I'm telling you, stuff happens to all of us. It happens to you. It happens to us. But what determines how we move ahead and how we grow our business has so much to do with our attitude.
That's the first time I ever had murder in my heart.
I believe it.
No, it lasted about 5 minutes. I said, what the hell? You know?
Yeah. And I will tell you, the person that I think of when I think about attitude in the world of Legal Shield is Dave Cibula, the late, great Dave Cibula. I don't care if he was in a serious conversation. He was never more than 5 seconds away from a smile and a hug. He was so positive. He made everybody around him feel like they were wanted and loved because that was who he was. And so we know that our attitude determines whether we attract people or not. And goodness, Dave Cibula is one of the greats in our company.
And Ron Crutcher.
Yeah.
Ron and Norman Crutcher.
That's true, yeah.
He rolled his car one night, was hanging upside down in a car, rolled it over off of a bank, got out, turned the car back over, pushed it off, and went to the meeting.
Yep.
I mean, he
in
literally,
the snow and ice.
Literally rolled the car. And he said,
and we were talking to him almost the whole time.
I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go do the briefing. And he went.
And they did it. I'm telling you, that's an attitude. So I've got, here's what, regarding controlling our attitude, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is, I mean, if we have a crummy attitude, I mean, we know it. You can't fool yourself. And we cannot just twinkle our nose and magically change it. We can't just say, I'm going to have a better attitude and just expect that to do the trick. I mean, it is part of it, deciding to have a better attitude. Yes, that's part of it, but how do you really internally do that? So, yes, you can fake it till you make it, but we're not faking inside to ourselves. People around us appreciate it maybe, but let's talk about genuinely making that attitude one of anticipation, of happiness and joy and loving moving ahead in life.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Tell me how to do that.
Well, we can control the input that controls the attitude. The first, and y'all are already, I know you're a step ahead of me, you know this. The first way we can control the input is personal development. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you and admit something to you. Before this industry, I'd never heard that term before. I remember the first time I heard it at one of my first meetings in this industry, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I like personal development. I mean, does that mean something's wrong with me? Somebody wants to develop something in me? I remember thinking that.
You thought that?
Yeah, I did, because I'd never heard the term. I didn't really understand
it. She was young, y'all. She was naive.
I was very naive. But we have to understand where people are coming from. I mean, the word personal development may not mean much
to
people.
Well, you were a college student, and you were a serious college student, and you were reading those academic books.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So personal development, yes, is critical. That's why we have a book of the month. That's why we always talk about personal development. Jim Rohn says that we have to work on ourselves more than our business, and that is so, so, so true. And honestly, I don't know where any of us would be, and I'm speaking about all the leaders that are on this phone tonight, if we had not all been plugging into personal development. When I think of Justin Peterson and Nick Odom, who are leading up this millennial movement, they have been, as young as they are, so plugged into personal development. I don't know of any of the classics that they have not read and learned from. So it is integral. It is important. But that's what one thing we can do to control it. So if you're not reading the book, not listening to great things when you're walking, Elizabeth Gardner and I were just talking about how we love Audible, and we'll put it on Frank's phone so he can easily listen to the good books.
Is that what you texted me today, something about that?
I did. Yes. Also, it's the people we're around the most that influence us. Jim Rohn says we become the average of the 5 people we're around the most. And, y'all, sometimes we cannot control that. Sometimes we're around a negative person a lot. But we can control making the other 4 positive. If you can't do anything about one, make sure the other 4 are super positive. And it might mean counting that book you're reading as one of the people that are around you, listening or reading and reading the book, listening to the audio, whatever. That's what we can control. But here's something else that's critically important. When it comes to our attitude, this is integral. You see, in this world of Legal Shield, there are 3 internal predictors of our success. One of them is a burning desire. Now, all these affect our attitude, but this first one, it's the bomb. Now, I know I've talked to a lot of y'all who are on the phone tonight. Some of you have a desire, but it's not burning at all. And that is the key to making our attitude what it needs to be, to becoming coachable, which is item two in your internal predictors of your success, and your willingness to work, which is number three. It all starts with that burning desire. If we're not clear on why we are doing this, why are we on this call tonight, taking up time from the TV or the family or whatever, why are we going to a briefing? Why are we going to the big team event in a couple of weeks? Why are we doing those things? Getting clear on why we're building our business, when you, and some of you, I think a lot of you are not clear because you're plateaued. If you're plateaued, you're not clear on where you're going with the business. So here's a suggestion. Take time to figure that out. Take the weekend coming up. Take tonight for 2 hours. Take tomorrow, whatever time you can, devote some time to figuring out and getting excited about what Legal Shield can do for you. Listen, we're not building this business for us today. We're not building the business for us tomorrow. We're building this business for us years from now and our families years from now. Who wants to be stuck on Social Security and Medicare? No, it may not even be around. I mean, this is important stuff. And who wants to be, some of us have desires to influence other people, to be in positions to train and speak and all of those things, and they're great goals, but we've got to get clear on them. They've got to burn in our heart. You know, I've heard it said many times, you know, your why has to be strong enough to make you cry here. That is critical. Now that we've established that there are internal predictors of our success, and yes, we can control the input through personal development, but we must take time ourselves to clarify that burning desire. Why are we doing this? Yeah, we've got desires. Everybody on the phone's got desires, but I guarantee you half of us don't have a burning desire. That's the key. It is magical, and it's so exciting because the first time you sit down and do this, maybe you've never done it, and you think about the possibilities of what could it be like to not punch that clock all week long at a place that you don't really like. What would it be like to be able to go where you want, when you want, where you want, with the people you want? I mean, what would it be like? What would it be like to be able to do things for your family, for your mom, to retire her, or your kids, to send them to the college they want? There's so many things we can all have. Just need to take time to clarify it.
Got that right attitude.
Yeah, but the attitude definitely is so connected to having a reason for being excited when you wake up in the morning.
For people to want to be around you. They
yes.
If you've got a good attitude, people want to be around you. Smile
yes.
once in a while.
Now, I'm going to close this training segment out with the one external. We've been talking about internal stuff, but this is an external influencer on our attitude. It is also an external predictor of our success. And here it is. And this is black and white. It is clear as a bell. It is you being at the big event, and it is your team being there with you. In fact, I've heard so many top leaders, platinum after platinum, talking about for every associate you have on your team at a big event, you can predict about $1,000 annual income. Now, that's pretty serious.
On top of what you're already making.
On top of what you're making, right. Increase it. If you accept an associate's excuses, and I mean your excuses or an associate's excuses, you're the roadblock. I mean, here it is. Yes, there are people who have a challenge in affording to attend the event. I mean, it's $100, $105 for entrance to all the events and two meals. You're going to hear about we're feeding you twice at that event. Nice meals. But $100 of that is a membership for a beginner in the business. And then to be able to stay there, I mean, you're going to be bunking up with other friends, splitting the cost. Honestly, if you sold a few memberships in the next week, you should be able to afford to be there. I'm telling you, in your transportation, you can all figure it out. But here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about being at the event. Whether it's this event, the next big event, the events are so vital. I mean, if you have money and time issues right now, honestly, they're going to always be with you, right? We have to break out of the box. We have to change something. We have to make different decisions. Don't accept your own excuses, and please don't accept anybody else's. It has been proven too many times the value of being at an event. It is the external predictor of your success, and It is what is going to help you internally, through being there externally, fix your attitude, change your attitude, give you the empowerment to go after your goals and to know you can do it. The whole conference is called I Believe, and it is about you believing in yourself, you believing in the company, you believing in our services so that you can explode your business and grow it like you want to grow. So I'm going to actually roll this over to Elizabeth so she can give you some more details about that event. Attitude is everything. That is the one thing that we can do for ourselves that is going to help us have an attitude that we want to have for the rest of our life.
Right, and if you think about three good wins a day, go to bed thinking about what was three good things that happened to you today. We can all think of that, right? It helps you get up in the morning feeling a lot better about yourself because at the end of the year, you've had 1,095 good things happen to you. And it's hard to be unhappy if you have that many good things happen to you.